I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play, because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com. Okay. It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. Welcome to the First Cut podcast, and day one of the President's Cup is officially over, and it went exactly as I expected if this is a bizarro world where everything is opposite. The international team captures 4 points and we have assembled the squad, mostly because Mark Immelman wants us to eat crow for our CT Pan takes earlier in the week. So let's start with Mark. Mark, welcome. This could not have gone any better for Ernie. Would you say so?
Well, look, I mean, everyone's going to talk about how the team played, and I was watching social media a bit while we were on the air, and Royal Melbourne got the deserved praise that it should. But I'm going to say the MVP is Ernie Els. I mean, since his captaincy was announced, he started to talk to his players. He got preparing. He obviously, with his data and analytics, went to the 15th club, the guys that advised Thomas Bjorn to the success at the Ryder Cup last year. And he stuck with his plan. And you know, we did the previous pod where we talked about potential pairings, and every decision he made was completely blew my mind, but stuff worked out and he's sticking with a plan. And the main thing for me is, he's got these youngsters to buy in. He's talked about opportunity, and this was their chance. And from the reports inside the camp, he's basically defined the strategy to play this golf course as well. Let's not forget, he shot 60 around this golf course in many years past. And so, I mean, these seven rookies, they played like big boys today. And a lot of it is thanks to Captain Ernie Els. So I think he's the MVP. But these young stars, they jumped up and grabbed the ball like he wanted them to.
Yeah, really, really unbelievable stuff. So I'm getting my apology already, but let's bring in Kyle Porter, who, I mean, we were kind of chatting just off air. Like, we like a lot of these guys on the international team from a personality standpoint. I did not see a 4-1 result coming out of Australia here this evening, but what are your initial first reactions to what you just saw?
Well, I'll have my attorneys will have a prepared statement for later on for me to read out loud on the air for Mark. But now look, like, let's be real here. Like, the President's Cup has not been, I mean, think back to Liberty National. It was not that tournament was never exciting. I mean, JT and Ricky and whatever, but it just wasn't there wasn't a lot going on there. So For this event to have a little juice like it got on whatever this is, Wednesday night, Thursday in Australia, wherever you're listening to this, right. I think it's awesome. I mean, I think it's so good, not just for the event itself, but for everybody watching, for the international team that's just gotten pounded for the last 14 years. I mean, this is their first lead after a day since 2005. I
was 14 years.
I was almost in high school at that time. I mean, that's unbelievable. And to do it the way they did it, it's not like they lucked into it. They trailed two holes over the last four matches. I mean, I know Tiger and JT kind of blew Leishman and Neiman out of the water, but the last four matches, they only trailed two holes the entire last four matches. So I was impressed. I think the entire thing got a lot more interesting. I thought the Americans looked flat. Yeah. And Royal Melbourne was awesome. I loved it. I thought the entire night was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was my big takeaway. I thought the U.S. side looked very much low energy. But before that, I mean, I'm very much on the record for shredding Ernie and what I thought he was making a huge mistake with these pairings, because what he essentially did is he paired each one of these rookies with a more experienced player. I looked at it, Mark, as kind of a way that is like he was going all in on being conservative, which, you know, I thought he was going to pair a couple of the big boys together, maybe pair a couple rookies together. But he went 1-1, and on paper, I thought this was very, very stupid. But that is why they don't play these matches on paper, Mark, huh?
Well, absolutely. But if you look deeper into it, and during our show, I had some time to do so, going back to the analytics, and he just kept on saying, we're going to stick to the system, and he'll share that system with us on Sunday night. They've kept it so close to the vest that even my brother Trevor didn't share the stuff with me. Bring it inside the camp, and everyone's in there. And as I look through the stuff, like Sung J.M. and Adam Hadwin, their styles of game in terms of their strength, they complemented each other. Very much the same thing with Ben Arn and Adam Scott. CT Pan, Hideki Matsuyama, you got a guy who's a grinder and prolific around the greens, and Hideki who strikes the irons well. And Louis is just a flusher, and Abraham Anser is kind of grindy and such. So they really matched up well in terms of birdie production, in terms of how the games play, and how they complement each other with communication, like we talked about in the four ball thing. Now, I'm really keen to see how this transpires when we get to alternate shot and foursomes right now. But Captain Els hadn't put a foot wrong. And again, we were sort of prognosticating as to what the combinations may be. I didn't see any one of these, maybe Arn and Scott, maybe Louis and Abraham, but the rest I didn't, and they worked out just dandy.
Yeah, sure did. Now, we're going to go through each one of these matches and kind of spend a few minutes on them. But before we do that, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the course itself. Royal Melbourne, to me, I kind of had an idea of what we were going to see, and then I was just kind of blown away with how strategic this course is, Kyle. And, you know, like, I think the purest form of golf is when good shots are rewarded and bad shots are punished. And I feel like that's exactly what we're seeing here. It's playing difficult and it's playing fair. What is your outlook on after, you know, five matches at Royal Melbourne?
Well, the course was awesome. And, yeah, you know, to me, I agree with you about like a marker of a good course, but I think another marker of a good course is, you know, we get into this U.S. Open stuff and you're just hacking out, and it's like, if you hit a wayward shot, you should be able to play it, but it should be really difficult. You should have to hit an unbelievable shot to get it back into position, right? And we saw that with JT and Tiger on the second hole. We saw it with Tiger a lot. Tiger's the best out of jail player. he's better out of jail than like most pros are just from the middle of the fairway. It's unbelievable some of the shots that he was hitting. And, I loved it. It was so good. I mean, just even like simple thing. I think David Faraday said it. He said it, you know, some of these greens, they're easily reachable, but they're not easily hittable. And I thought that was a really good way to put it. And I love the ground game, you know, just having to bump and run it. It's just a more interesting style of golf, and it's something that the Americans don't play a ton. And, it's great for the event, but I also wish we got to see it more throughout the year.
And yeah,
Add something, Rick, sorry. You know, I'm going to sound like Gary Player, some age professing. Forgive me. As he's been professing that water is our most precious resource, and golf courses, especially in the U.S. with the green and the fertilizing and stuff, are chewing up too much water. You look at this place here, they water the operative areas, and then you got brown, burnt out ground on either side. And when that golf ball got in those areas, man, you never know what is likely. You could play from there, and we saw a number of good shots off hard pans and off packed sand and stuff. But just the contrast in the colors and the bunkers cut into the edge of the green and just less grass, I think is just so good for the environment. And I wish more courses would take on this mantra, because people would have more fun playing the game.
Yeah, I love it. So looking forward to the next couple days, watching this course in action again. But let's jump into these matchups here. So first match out, Joaquin Niemann and Mark Leishman go up against Tiger Woods and Justin Thomas. Never really, in doubt here for the American squads. The only point they end up getting, Tiger and JT win this one 4-3. And I think there's a lot of different, like, as I was watching this match, I'm like, there's so many layers to this. So Mark, let's stay with you here for a second, because the one thing that I noticed right out of the gate was Niemann looked, and no knock against him, he looked like a rookie. He had some loose shots. We saw him hit a couple of really nice ones later in the round as he kind of got his feet underneath him. But I think this kind of goes into, you know, Captain L's strategy about getting Mark Leishman, who could be more solid, to kind of bring along a rookie. But like, what was your initial reaction from this match in general, and also Niemann, who we all love, getting a little loose there at times?
Well, we had this match on PGA Tour live coverage, so we saw it from shot one through the end of the match. And you're right about your assessment with Jaco. He looked nervous starting, hit like a low hook off the first tee with a fairway medal. Leishman didn't have his very best either, but they sort of ham and egged it some. But in a situation like that, when you're a rookie, the nerves are running rampant. There's adrenaline all over the show. And then you're playing against Tiger Woods and Justin Thomas. I mean, this is
good
just
point.
Down on you. And so it was a big stage for Jaco Niemann. But going forward, man, I call that the learning zone. And he just got a case study in how to manage emotion, how to play the golf course. And this is an already talented kid who's now seen how arguably the greatest of all time goes about doing his craft, because Tiger was a virtuoso today. 6 birdies. The swing was fluid. The iron control was immense. His bunker play was spectacular. He made crucial putts, and he carried JT around the place. I mean, proof of the back fusion, Will, and the knee. Well, he's carried Justin Thomas the entire day, so he's doing just fine. So,
yeah.
It was all Tiger today, and I think it was a good deal for Niemann. My concern for the internationals is Leishman didn't look very good.
Yeah.
He sort of battled the game some here recently, so that is one of the veterans of the team. Hopefully they can fix that up for the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, real quickly on that, because Leishman at time, he just looked very uncomfortable. I mean, I know he backed off a bunch of shots. It looked like he had an issue with one of his driving irons that led to a shot that he was not committed to hitting in like the sixth or the seventh hole. He just seemed like a little uncomfortable to me, which is rare when you talk about Mark Leishman.
It is, but you know, it's about start lines when you spin the ball, and Leishman hits sort of a lazy sliding low fade, and a number of the holes today were that southwesterly were crosswind with a wind out of the left. So when you're uncomfortable and you're not on top of the swing, and then you got some wind aggravating the side spin, that's not a fun spot to be, you know, especially when you've got some fast conditions underfoot where you're just slightly wide of the mark and the ball hits the turf and scampers away from one. So the conditions sort of perpetuated the problem, but he's got some range time to just tighten things up, because the golf swing just wasn't there, in my opinion.
Yeah. I didn't even think about Joaquin Niemann, who is 21 years old, playing in his first President's Cup, going out in the first match. And if that wasn't bad enough, Kyle, you have to stare down Tiger Woods and Justin Thomas on the other side.
Yeah, that's a tough scene for Niemann. You know, here's my deal with Tiger. I don't know how he views courses like this. I think Tiger's a genius when it comes to thinking his way around in golf. And a lot of his wins have come at, you know, courses that are not super nuanced like Royal Melbourne is. And I think that it just seemed to bring out the best of him, right? Like he was kind of moving it both ways. He was going high. He was going low. I just thought it was brilliant to watch, and just a lot of fun. I didn't have high expectations for him going in, just because some of his match play stuff in the past. I mean, going to Paris last year, he went 0-for. The captain stuff I thought would take away from it, but he was unbelievable. And now I just don't know. I don't think he can sit himself, right? Like I went in thinking like he should play max 3 times, and now I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, we're going to save that for later, because I tend to agree with you when we talk about what's going to come out of the next couple of days. I think another bright spot out of this, though, Kyle, is
if you want to call it a bright spot, is Justin Thomas did not play well. And Tiger absolutely, to Mark's point, absolutely carried him around the course. But I think the upside of that is you still have arguably, you know, the best, if not one of the best, if not the best players on the face of the earth, who did not play well. You go out and win 4-3 and the U.S. team still kind of has JT in the back pocket, knowing he could come alive and be that guy at any moment.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, JT said it after the round. He basically said, Tiger dragged me across the finish line. He didn't use those words. I used those for him. But that's essentially what he said, and that's essentially what happened. I think JT had – I think he only had one birdie, maybe two, and he basically just turned it over to Tiger, who put it away.
Yeah. That was really the lone bright spot for the American squad. Believe it or not, it's gonna be all the internationals from here on out. So the second match out, Sungjae Im and Adam Hadwin. This one did go a little bit longer. They played all 18 over a one-up win over Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. This is the the unofficial Sungjae Im podcast. So when he goes eagle birdie out of the gate, I was sprinting around the house, banging pots and pans and everything that could possibly be going on. But Mark, I think this pairing right here, Cantlay Xander, I didn't see a whole lot out of them. This was kind of one of those low energy ones. They seem to have a lot of difficulty reading the speeds of the greens. It just seems like an uphill battle. And this is such a key team for the Americans if they want to find success in Australia this week.
It really is. And for the internationals, Rick, this was a bonus. In my opinion, Cantlay and Schauffele was probably the strongest combination that Captain Tiger Woods put out with respect to Tiger Woods. Even Gary Woodland and Dustin Johnson, DJ was a bit of a wild card given that he hadn't played in a while with a knee surgery. So you look at Cantlay and Schauffele and you're like, whoa, you can beat them and that is a bonus. And that's kind of the thing that the internationals put in their pocket because that's the giant pairing. But for me, as you look at those two personalities, Cantlay says nary a word on the golf course. Xander barely speaks more than him. They're two sort of, you say low energy, that's sort of who they are.
Yeah.
So when things are going wrong, it's not like you got JT spanking you on your rear end saying, let's go, or Patrick Reed shouting, come on, or whatever. They just don't do that. And so that was an odd combination for me from the emotional point of view. Now, from pure playing, absolutely. But you guys know me. Kyle's the strokes gain guy. I'm going to talk to you more about the emotions of the thing. And in this deal, you can throw statistics out of the window. And then you take Royal Melbourne with cross winds and firm conditions. You can toss statistics out of the window. It's about grit, guts, emotion, all of the above. And this combination to me, as attractive as what they looked, they just didn't have that X factor, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, they really didn't. And Kyle, I mean, to Mark's skill set discussion, Adam Hadwin did what was asked of him. He rolled in the putts when they needed to. There was a couple of like 10 footers for par to tie holes and things like that, that in match play become so critical. And he played a key role in that. Sungjae did Sun God type things. And Patrick and Xander just couldn't.
That's good.
Couldn't really get it going. I mean, what do you think about this one? Because the American side was a significant favorite on this match.
Well, Sungjae chips in on the first, and you're like, well, he might shoot like a 47 or something. Who knows what's going to happen
possible.
Here's a take. I was just thinking about this. I think the U.S. team misses Jordan Spieth.
Come on.
How about that?
What are you doing?
Sorry, I just got choked up. I'm like weeping over here over my guy. I got something in my throat. No, here's why I say that. Like I watch these pairings and I watch Cantlay and Xander and I watch Finau and Bryson and I watch Webb and Reed and I'm like, there's just no like authenticity in their excitement. You know, and I think with JT there is, that's a real thing. And there's just nothing there. Like there's just nothing going on. And I don't know. Look, you don't have to be like Ray Lewis coming out of the tunnel to win a match at a President's Cup. I don't think that, but I don't know. And usually I think that about the international team. And so maybe it's just a matter of them. Maybe you just act more fired up when you're playing better. Maybe it's as simple as that, but I think. The U.S. misses a little bit of that fire from somebody like Spieth. And I don't know if they got these pairings right. They're just – you put some kind of low energy guys with other low energy guys, and it didn't work out.
You are trying to artificially inflate the price of Jordan Spieth's stock, sir, with all of these comments.
It feels like an SEC violation, but I don't know if it actually is.
I do think it is interesting because, I mentioned low energy earlier, and just like that was kind of the theme for the U.S. team, you know, and some of these guys barely have a pulse, right? Like Gary Woodland, Dustin Johnson, they barely have a pulse anyway. Same with some of these guys. and I thought Patrick Reed, and that's a compliment on the golf course, right? But I thought Patrick Reed, whether it is with the cloud that was a little bit hanging over him this week, I thought he was a little bit more mellow than usual until like the 16th hole. I think he buried a birdie putt to win that one. But like I did just feel like it's not Jordan Spieth, but like I did feel that this U.S. team needed a little kick in the butt, and they're gonna have to find it somewhere, Kyle, because they're in big trouble here.
Yeah, they are, and. You know, I'm fascinated. I know we're going to talk about this later as they come out, but I'm fascinated to see what the pairings are because, yeah. You know, it's one thing to go down 4-1 on day one and you're like, okay, well, we got 25 points that are still out there. But if you're down like 8-2 or 7-3 after day two, that's a little, that gets pretty dicey. So I'm really intrigued by, even more so by the day two pairings than I was day one.
Me too. Rick. Yes, sir.
To the energy thing, you know, I was just thinking, listening to Kyle there, and I will tell you this, in the team environments I've been involved in and when I've worked with players in this sort of an environment, it's really easy to be G'd up and jacked up and all emotional and shouting and screaming when you're winning. Now, when you look up at the board and you see a bunch of your opponents drilling folks, you know, it will seem, to Kyle's point, a little, you know, unauthentic. Because yeah. You're like, we got to get something going. We got to contrive something now.
Yeah.
And so used to seeing this American team just dominate. They were in a place today where they haven't been before. And in the Ryder Cup, they got spanked a bit and you didn't see any energy there either. So it's hard to make something happen. And that's where the pairings are crucial. But you know, the message from Captain Woods and company should be, hey guys, that's one session down. There's a lot of golf. There's Super Saturday ahead. There are a lot of points on offer. Just go and hit shots, and when we get the ascendancy, because there will be a run, let's make sure we double down on the emotion then.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And there is, for good or bad, there is plenty of golf left to be played out there, and they will find a run at some point. But it was not in match three, which was Benyon, Adam Scott winning 2-1 over Tony Finau and Bryson DeChambeau. Mark, we'll stay right here with you. I mean, I love Adam Scott, Benyon being, added to this team late, replacing Jason Day. We felt that was probably an upgrade to the team on the golf course, you know, to be determined off of the golf course. But, Adam Scott did exactly what we would have expected out of a now 9-time President's Cup member, take a young guy under his wing and lead them to victory.
And he did it very well under a lot of pressure. He spoke about the pressure of playing in front of the Australians at home. He had a low sniping hook off the first and Ben carried him early, which I think was good for Ben because it loosened him up. And he showed him that this majestic Adam Scott, who looks like the golf swing fell straight out of heaven, even misses shots under pressure. So it was just a very sound performance from a couple there in the middle of the lineup who I thought was Captain Ernie Els's real lineup, and I'm with you. Respect to Jason Day. Ben Arn on this team is a good deal for the internationals.
Yeah, for sure. Kyle, you know, Bryson and Tony, I don't know. They played okay. They hit a couple of shots. Tony made a couple of putts when it mattered, but it just never really felt like they were in this thing.
Yeah, same type deal. It never clicked with me. And again, I think Mark makes a really good point about the authenticity of celebrating when you lead for two holes over the last four matches. I think that has a ton to do with it, but I don't know. I mean, I thought Adam Scott was really good on the front nine. I think he had three birdies by himself. And look, I can't get enough of the Scott Ben on, you know, ball striking, just fiesta. I mean, it's awesome to watch, and they were really good and certainly a lot better than Finau and Bryson on Thursday.
Yeah, according to Vegas, this was the match. I believe it was even money. So this was the only match that the international team was not an underdog in. So this was kind of the one that we had penciled in could easily go to the international side, and they do capture it. So that was their second point. The match number four. This is the one with
Breadman.
Yeah, CT Pan and Hideki Matsuyama win one up over Patrick Reed and Webb Simpson. Yeah, this is where, you know, we've spent a lot of time, and I have too, being like CT Pan, like he's ranked whatever, 60 whatever in the world, and doesn't bring all that much to this team. But yeah, Mark, I mean, you mentioned it, and we talked about it kind of off air a little bit. He played really, really well. He hit some shots, and in a match play situation like this, you know, just stuffing one to, you don't have to stuff it to 2 feet, right? Getting one to 12 feet, getting one to 10 feet, just to put that extra pressure on. Every time I saw CT Pan hit, I felt like he was just hitting a ball to 10 or 12 feet and giving his team a chance.
Oh, absolutely. And if I'm not gloating at all over here, just
go ahead. You can do it. Go ahead.
You know, I'd mentioned that, look, he's what, ranked mid-60s in the world? Yeah. You're no scrub if you're inside the top 100. Okay, let's just get that one down. Now, granted, if you're comparing yourself to a top 10 player, but remember, this is 18 holes on a golf course that suits his game. He flashes the thing down, there are crosswinds, it's firm underfoot. When you're bringing the ball in on the lower trajectory, you can pretty well guarantee and you can know what the first bounce does if you're playing at the front of the greens like Royal Melbourne asks you to. So that's playing into his wheelhouse, if you will. He's won at the RBC Heritage, which is the place where it's single file, but not just hitting it in the fairway, on the correct side of the fairway to open up those tiny greens. Same thing as Royal Melbourne. Oh, and then he's playing alongside a Decky. I mean, this stuff, if there was a rookie campaign for someone that was drawn up in heaven, he has the game that matches up perfectly for this golf course. And then he's got a Decky by his side, which is comfortable. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if those two now, after watching them play together, because I thought he might get a run with Haitong Li. I wouldn't be surprised if they stay together.
Yeah, it was a great match. I mean, I really liked watching this one. Kyle Hideki made a couple of putts, which we don't always see him do. But I think the real story here is also the Patrick Reed Webb Simpson side of this. I kind of mentioned it earlier, and I don't know if it's the I don't want to call it a black cloud that's kind of been over Patrick Reed with the questions about the Hero World Challenge and the issue that he had there. But I just felt like it took him 16 holes to drop like that first fist pump and to really get going. But these guys just they didn't have much out there.
Yeah, the Reed thing was weird. Even from the first tee box, he didn't, like, he sort of got heckled, but not really. And so there was nothing to like lean into. I mean, yeah. I fully expected him to kind of just go full, you know,
interesting.
Scotland Patrick Reed, and he didn't. And I think a lot of it was just I didn't think the crowd was great. I mean, it was fine, but it wasn't like a. It wasn't the atmosphere that you want at an event like this. And so it just – the whole thing, I think he was expecting that atmosphere and didn't get it. And the whole thing just fell a little flat. And, Webb wasn't – I didn't think Webb was great. No. Reed closed, but Hideki closed harder. Hideki made 5 or 6 birdies, and I think he had 1, 2, 2 in his last 4 holes. And it was an impressive – I mean, look – Breadman, CT Pan was great. and then Hideki closes and, just another one for the internationals. It was kind of incredible.
Yeah, I thought there was a chance that the Americans could have just like stole this one at the end, you know, but not to be, which then brings us to match 5, which is the buzzsaw. This was actually the first one. I think this was the first one that ended, even though it was either the first or second one that ended, even though it went out last, because Louis Oosthuizen and Abraham Anser won 4 and 3 over Gary Woodland and Dustin Johnson. We've kind of alluded to energy and all that stuff, but this was the buzzsaw. Louis, who's awesome at match play, continued to do his thing. Abraham Anser looks like he sold his soul to the devil. I mean, these guys, they could do no wrong out there. It was actually a lot of fun to watch.
Well, there's a high level of comfortability here. I mean, the the telling thing to me was the picture that someone put on Twitter where you've taken the photo of the two teams alongside the cup on the first tee, and you got DJ and Gary Woodland, who are like giants, and they're these manly men. And then you got little Louie, and then little Abe Anser. And you look at these two guys, and some guy quipped, he's like, this looks like the international Wi-Fi symbol, because it was getting bigger on the and it was just, again, it's a situation where golf's played on grass, and they're both comfortable in Australia. Anser has won the Australian Open on a similar style golf course. Oosthuizen's been playing beautifully this entire fall, played well last week at the Australian Open. So they just ham and egg really well, and it's that is a stout combination in four balls.
Yeah, so Kyle, to that point, I mean, Gary Woodland and Dustin Johnson, they look like heavyweights. They played a little bit like featherweights today. Gary Woodland, we will talk about his situation for tomorrow because he is going to roll back out there, but he just missed so many putts. I don't think he made a single birdie the entire day. Just another story of the U.S. side not being able to hit the putt and not being able to get anything going.
Yeah, I thought DJ and Woodland, their story was the story of the American side, because they made three birdies total in how many holes did they play?
15.
Yeah, so they made three birdies in 30 runs at it. That's not good.
No.
And one of the birdies was a botched, like, 5-footer for eagle to win a hole.
Oh my God. Yeah, on the hole that DJ drove, right?
Yeah.
DJ drives the green 330 yards, has 5 feet for eagle, and lips it out right side.
I mean, I thought their round was just so emblematic of the Americans throughout the day. There's just nothing there. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's a jet lag thing. I don't know if it's a putting thing. I don't know what was going on, but other than Tiger and JT, there was no juice on the American side. You can't have two of the last three U.S. Open winners go out and make three birdies. They almost have more U.S. Opens over the last 4 years than they had birdies on Thursday and expect to win the day. It's just not going to happen.
People toss around the term rust, and no one can really define it, but I'll tell you what it is, and you guys cover other sports. There's a difference between reps in practice, or as Tiger say, he's lifting, you know, his regular weights. There's a difference to that stuff and then playing under the heat of it all and representing your country. And when you're doing that, your hands just feel different on the golf club, especially over a 5-footer that's sliding and fast, and then there's crosswind. You know, when you've been there for a while, you're a bit more comfortable. You're not comfortable yet, but you're a bit more. And so there's a lot to be said, especially on a golf course where the margins are just so sharp, like an Augusta National. If you don't have some running form coming in there, it's going to be a really tough road to hoe.
Yeah, so that's day one. I do think how these pairings come down for day two is going to tell us a lot. So we have them. We'll go through them on the other side, but quick, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our sponsors.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, boys, we're back. So we've got the pairings for day two. It's foursome, so it's alternate shot, and these are hot off the presses. I mean, these are being filled out as we were recording. So I'll just drop these on you because we're getting our first look at them right now. And the international squad, whatever Ernie's strategy is involves breaking up the guys that just got him all the points, believe it or not, because he has gone with the big boys in match one, Louis and Adam Scott together. They're going to go up against Dustin Johnson and Matt Kuchar. So Kuchar is going to get his first action here. So we don't have to talk about all of these individually, but I don't even know where to start. Mark, are you surprised to see that not a single pairing from today on the international side is going to be the same for tomorrow?
Not really, because they're different styles of games. You know, alternate shot, you try and pair guys together who play similar games, so you're used to, you know, hitting from a similar distance. You're also used to playing a similar golf ball, used to seeing different flights and such. And Adam and Louis, everyone kind of knew they were going to be together in alternate shot. And as I look down the list of internationals, you know, a lot of this makes sense. For me, the thing that's telling is the two guys that were being seated. Again, I thought Hao Tong Li would get a little action. He'll be seated for the second day in a row. And CT Pan, who had a big day today and I'm sure is absolutely jam-packed on confidence, he's on the bench. But, you know, this is a team effort. So I'm not that surprised at the combinations. I think Adam and Louis are sharp. Joaquin and Adam Hadwin, they're going to be good together. I like the Hideki Ben Arn combination. And then to close it out there, Cam Smith and Sung Jae Im. Whoa. That's going to be a fun one to watch those two.
Yeah, so let me run through these real quick. So as I mentioned, Louis and Adam Scott versus DJ and Matt Kuchar, Adam Hadwin and Joaquin Neiman against Xander and Cantlay. So those two going back out again. Mark Leishman, Abraham Anser versus Webb Simpson and Patrick Reed, Benny On and Hideki versus Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods, and then Sungjae and Cam Smith versus Gary Woodland and Ricky Fowler. So that leaves out CT Pan and Hao Tong Li from the international side, and the pairing, Tony Finau and Bryson DeChambeau, both are catching the bench in round two. Kyle, I was excited to see these pairings because I was trying to decide what level of panic the U.S. team was going to be at. Like, if they blew everything up and went with all new partners, I would say that's a big-time panic. Doesn't look like they've done that. JT and Tiger going back out. Webb and Patrick Reed going back out. Xander and Cantlay going back out. Doesn't look like panic from the U.S. side.
No, both sides, it seems like are sticking with their strategy, because the U.S. team got just pasted on day one and they're going with the same guys, and the internationals won big and they're going with completely different guys. So they're both clearly sticking with whatever strategy they have in mind. I don't know, man. I look at the U.S. side and I'm like, am I excited about this? Like, is there a lot to be excited about here? I don't know. The Cantlay Xander thing, it didn't work at all. Maybe alternate shot's different. The Reed Webb thing didn't work at all. Tiger and JT, obviously, I don't know. I would love to see, and I said this beforehand a couple days ago, I'd love to see Tiger. I would love to switch Tiger and Ricky and go Tiger with Woodland and Ricky with JT.
You like that, Mark? You like that one too?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the gospel according to Kyle. I mean, I am so on board with that call over there. And I'd almost go further. I'd love to see Reed and Cantlay and perhaps Xander.
Yeah.
You flip those two around. But I'm just a podcast dude.
I feel the same way. I was very wrong about Ernie. I don't know. I think the U.S. has the luxury of almost any combination they want because they're so deep and they're so good. Maybe the wound is too fresh after just watching these guys kind of get their butts kicked just a few minutes ago, that when I'm looking back at these rosters, I'm like, oh my gosh, like they're going to run it back and get their butts kicked again. Like this is a little scary. But here's what we'll do. Which one of these matches, gentlemen, for any reason, are you most interested in watching? I'll go first. I think I think the Justin Thomas, Tiger Woods, Benny On, Hideki Matsuyama match is like, I love Benny On. And those are some big names there. Like, that could be a heavyweight bout. What do you think, Kyle?
That one's sweet. That's probably the one that I would pick as well. I don't know. I guess I'm interested to see if Father Abraham can back up his play from day one on day two. So I might go Reed Webb and Leishman, Abraham answer. Although I don't know, Ustase and Scott is also delightful. That'll be a, just a, I mean, that's like, those are like the two best swings in golf. I mean, two of the top six, four, I don't know, whatever you want to say. Both of those I'm intrigued by.
That will be a very aesthetically pleasing matchup. And then DJ, who's just going to have that whip action and just bomb one out there every single time. All right, Mark, you can wrap us up here. Which one of these matches or what in general are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Well, there's some really enticing looking games here, and I'm sort of looking through these already to prepare for our feature group coverage tomorrow night, and I'm guessing we'll have Hideki Ben Arn versus Tiger and JT.
That's a good guess.
But I wish I knew the lottery numbers while I was at it. But the game for me, thinking from the international team's point of view, and perhaps even the Americans, I'm very interested in Abraham Anser and Mark Leishman. Leishman didn't play well today. He is clearly one of the cogs in Ernie Els's wheel, and he's one of the leaders, and he needs to find a little form, and playing alternate shot is awkward. And playing alongside Anser, you're going to play from the fairway a bunch. So I'm keen on seeing that match to see how Leishman plays against a guy, if you knock over Patrick Reed twice, that is a bit of a blow to the American psyche. So I'm keen on watching that one too.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right, gentlemen, I'm going to let you get some sleep so we can get back at it tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow night recapping day two of this. For the First Cut podcast, I'm Rick Gaiman. It's at Rick Run Good. This has been Mark Immelman has joined us at @Mark_Immelman and at Kyle Porter CBS. Good night, gents. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, find your seat on the SungJM bandwagon. There's still some available. So
love it.
We'll be driving it.
I can't wait. All right, boys.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.